Hello, welcome to the final Blackboard briefing. I'm Matt Deeprose.
And I'm Sam Cole.
For this week's podcast, we're actually in the middle of the upgrade process, and so we're recording this on Friday morning, which will allow us to stick to our testing schedule, which is scheduled for this afternoon. As we're currently in the middle of the upgrade process, this week's podcast will take a slightly different format to previous weeks. We'll start off with news as normal, and that will be followed by some interviews which we recorded earlier, but unfortunately there'll be no time to introduce a new feature for 7.1, and we also won't be offering any of the feedback from previous podcasts. Okay, time for this week's news now, where we get an update on the project progress, and this week Matt and I will just be having a quick chat about the progress and what's happening. So Matt, what stage are we at now with the upgrade?
Well, I'll take you through what's happened this week so far. On Monday 21st, as we advertised, Blackboard was taken down. We proceeded to take a full backup and then restored this backup to a staging server. We're using this staging server so that our original Blackboard service was untouched, just so that we could revert back to it if the upgrade project wasn't successful. This aspect of the project took about 2 days because there's a phenomenal amount of data on Blackboard. On Wednesday lunchtime, first attempt to upgrade the staging server to the new version of Blackboard took place, but was not successful. That's despite it being successful when we originally tested, and despite the efforts of the technical team and Blackboard support. Unfortunately, it could not be recovered, and we had no other option than to set up the staging server once more. So again, we had to restore the backup we took on Monday to the staging server and make another attempt.
Okay, so I know that we've deviated slightly from the initial project plan. Can you explain just where we are in the timeline at the moment?
Well, on Thursday, the staging server was in a position to be upgraded again. And that upgrade was run on Thursday lunchtime, and it continued to run all the way into the afternoon and beyond. When we came in this morning, Friday morning, and we found that Blackboard had upgraded okay on the staging server.
Right, so what's happening as we speak?
Well, currently all of the database and information and the content is being transferred from the staging server to the new clustered environment. And at 2 p.m. we'll start actually testing the new Blackboard service to check that it works okay.
Okay, thanks for that, Matt. And for our listeners, provided that the upgrade and the testing has been successful, you'll actually be able to log on to the new Blackboard service now. And that's all the news for now. This week's first interview is with Fiona Grindy from Student Services.
Today we're joined by Fiona Grindy. Hello, Fiona.
Hello.
Could you introduce yourself, Fiona? Let us know who you are, what you do at the university, and what sort of areas of interest you have at the university.
Okay. My name is Fiona Grindy. I'm a student learning advisor at the University for Student Services. My areas of interest are really the online support of students.
How long have you been using Blackboard, and what are you using it for?
Well, I've been using Blackboard both as a student and as an instructor. So I've used Blackboard probably since about 1999. I've used all versions of Blackboard, very happy with it. I'm using it at the moment with the e-languages department, Study Skills Toolkit we've developed, which is a range of online interactive resources for students.
So what kind of resources are available in the Study Skills Toolkit?
Right, Study Skills Toolkit is interactive, so you fill in forms and press a button, submit your response, and the correct answers are shown, and it ranges from learning academic writing, learning skills, note-taking. You can listen to a piece of a lecture, you can see a video, and then answer the questions. It's a whole range of, as a set of materials, and they're excellent, really well received, and they're actually being sold to other universities.
And how are staff finding your resources on Blackboard?
Well, what we did, we promoted it to all the learning and teaching coordinators and anyone that was interested in supporting students online. and the staff have found it very easy to use. Some of them have had a little bit of trouble initially to enrol on it because they've clicked the wrong section. They didn't click enrol. Otherwise, it's been very well received. Good feedback.
And what else is on the horizon for e-learning in student services?
Well, student services have put a lot of time and effort into promoting the student resources online, which is a set of support services for students from eating out at the university, accommodation, and includes study skills as well. So it's a whole range. And we're hoping to improve that as time goes on and make it more interactive.
Thanks, Fiona. That's really good to hear your views. This week's second interview is with Gary Farrell from ISVR.
Today I'm joined by Gary Farrell. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Matt.
Could you start, Gary, by letting us know who you are, what you do at the university, and what your background is with e-learning?
I'm a senior teaching fellow in ISVR, and I'm also the course coordinator for the BSc Audiology undergraduate degree. And I started here in May 2003. The BSc Audiology undergraduate programme started in October 2003, and that was our first cohort of students. And I'm currently organising the final year, the fourth year of the programme, which will start this October. I was previously in ISVR between 1984 and 1991 as a research assistant, then moved off from there to work in the NHS. Nothing at all to do with audiology. I actually worked in information and was a consultant looking at how we could best use information to improve patient healthcare. I spent about 9 to 10 years running national NHS training courses all around the country, and I was a consultant in information and I visited most of the hospitals in the NHS. In my only background in e-learning was that as part of that process I helped develop and implement a computer-based training package, but that's the other side of the fence rather than using any e-learning programs.
How long have you been using Blackboard and what are you using it for?
Well, when I joined the university in May 2003, I'd never heard of Blackboard, to be perfectly honest. We've run an MSc audiology program since 1972, and one of the 12 modules was using this program called Blackboard. And then I went on a course which is run by yourself, Matt, and suddenly realised the potential of how we could actually use it, especially since it was a brand new degree programme and we're actually looking at a blank canvas. And what we've actually done is gone down the complete e-learning environment. We don't have a notice board. We communicate and send information to the students by Blackboard. We have the information from the students sent to us by the digital Dropbox, and we use very little paper handouts. I try to use all aspects of Blackboard, from the discussion boards, the quizzes, the communication system, and look forward to the new enhancements when they're in.
It sounds like you're using the full potential of Blackboard. And how are your students finding this? What's their feedback about Blackboard?
Actually, to be perfectly honest, the current students think it's absolutely brilliant. And it's not just the current students. I think that Blackboard is a selling point for potential students as well. So during the open days, we demonstrate how we use Blackboard. And not just the students themselves, but their parents are amazed and think that it's a great way of actually delivering teaching in our university. But as part of the audiology degree, the third year of the programme, the students go out and work in the NHS for a year. In our third year placement, students are currently using Blackboard, even on their placements, to submit particular essays that they do, and also they use the discussion board quite extensively as a means of discussing professional issues and different patients that they've seen during their placement year. In terms of students, ISVR obviously runs engineering courses as well, and about 18 months ago the engineering students expressed an interest in using Blackboard more extensively, and so my colleagues Neil Ferguson and Tim Waters are now extensive users of Blackboard for their engineering undergraduate programs, and also Dave Simpson is using it for his short courses in ISVR. And when I started in October 2003, there was only one module in the MSc program that was using Blackboard, and now I'm pleased to say that because of our extensive use of it, all of the MSc program modules now use Blackboard as a media for delivering some of our teaching.
So it sounds like ISVR are really getting behind Blackboard and using it to support a lot of their courses at the moment.
It is actually. I'd say that we're Blackboard rich, and we've embraced e-learning quite extensively.
Well, that's very positive. And have you got tips for colleagues who might be starting out using Blackboard or just thinking what else they can use it for?
People out there might think that, yes, it's easy for Gary to have done this because he's starting a brand new degree course and he's got a blank canvas. But to be perfectly honest, even degree courses that are currently running without using Blackboard, the initial investment in time will reap extensive rewards and save you money at the end of the day. And it's not just rewards for staff time. It's also the fact that I think you'll actually find increased student satisfaction levels because of the ease of use and the ability to access the information. In terms of practical tips, when you've got a 12-module course, my advice is to make the menu system exactly the same on each module because that makes it easier for the student to follow the system from one module to the other. The other piece of advice I'd give you is that although Blackboard is linked into Banner, that means all your modules are automatically put onto Blackboard, I think it's extremely useful to have an overview module. Now that actually isn't integrated with the Banner system, but the Blackboard team themselves can actually set that module up for you. The benefit of the overview module is that that is the first stop for the student, a bit like the SUST website. So when they go into Blackboard, they actually are directed into the overview module, and in that module you can put all the information on terms of the program specification. We have our student photographs on there. We have all the information on their exam systems, and we use that overview module primarily as our main announcements to deliver any information and facts to the students. That means they've only got to go to that overview module to get all our announcements rather than going to 12 individual modules. We also use that overview module as our main feedback site. So we've set up two discussion boards on that overview module. One is general program feedback, and the other one is purely for the students' benefit, which is a social discussion form, which they use to organise parties and social events, which is quite useful for them. When you set up an overview module, you need one for each year of study. So for each year's cohorts, have an individual module that they can actually go to get that year's announcements. In terms of using Blackboard, people might object to the fact that we've actually put the responsibility now onto the students to get the information. To be perfectly honest, I think that's a positive effect because it's character building for the students, for them to have the responsibility of getting the information prior to the lecture. In terms of another tip, that means the module coordinator and the lecturer needs to put that information on Blackboard at least 2 weeks before that lecture is given.
Well, thanks very much, Gary. That's going to be very useful, I should think, for a lot of people listening to this podcast. And thanks for taking part in the podcast. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, yes. I mean, this is my view as a member of staff, and I thought it would be quite useful to actually get a student's view. So before I come across, before this podcast, I asked one of our MSc students, Philip Gomazol, what he actually thought about Blackboard. And he just said it was easy to use and so accessible. I asked him if he would miss Blackboard if it wasn't there, and he said he wouldn't like to go back to his previous degree program, which didn't use Blackboard.
Well, thanks very much for that, Gary. It was a great note to end on. And thanks for taking part in our podcast.
No problem at all. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, that's all for this week's podcast, and indeed for the series of podcasts covering the upgrade. Thanks to all who have listened, and please let us know any more feedback, as well as whether you'd be interested in hearing Blackboard briefings in the future.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.